you don't already have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 24, I would encourage you to do that because I want us to look at those three verses as we begin our sermon this morning, or begin our study of the Word of God, to look at those three verses that Chad read for us just a few minutes ago. Because there are some things that we learn about the coming of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 that we need to know and that we need to be able to tell and to teach to others. We learn from Matthew chapter 24 the certainty of Jesus' coming. Jesus says in verse 44 that He is coming. The Son of Man is coming. We don't need to have any doubt in our minds that the day is going to come when Jesus will return to this earth. But we also learn something else about His coming in Matthew chapter 24. In verse 42 and verse 43, Jesus talks about the fact that the timing of His coming is uncertain. There is no one on the face of this earth that knows when Jesus will come back. There's no one on this earth who knows about when Jesus will come back. Jesus says the time that of that hour, the day and time of that hour is not known. In fact, He says it will come upon you suddenly. Verse 43, He illustrates it about that thief who was coming to the house and how that master of the house, he didn't know that the thief was coming. The thief comes when no one's expecting it. The thief comes suddenly when we're not ready for that thief to come. Jesus is coming. We do not know when He is coming. He will come suddenly as a thief in the night at a time perhaps when we do not expect it to happen. As we consider these verses this morning, as we consider what Jesus says to us in verse 44, where He says, "Therefore you also be ready." This morning I want to ask you, as we think about Jesus coming again, are you ready for Jesus to come again? Right now, sitting here in this auditorium, the fact that Jesus is going to come, we don't know when, and He's going to come suddenly. Are you ready for that event to take place? This morning, as we consider that question, I want us very briefly to look at nine things that you will experience. We're all going to experience them, but you are. Nine things that you will experience when the Lord returns. And as we look at these, I want you to ask yourself the question, am I ready for this? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? The first thing that you are going to experience when He comes back is that you are going to see Him and hear Him. Nobody's going to miss this. It's not going to be imperceptible. It's not going to be missed by a single person on the face of this earth. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was ascending back into heaven, there were two men who stood beside the apostles on that occasion and said, "Why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you, He shall so come in like manner as you saw Him go." He left and they saw Him leave, and the angel said, "He will come again and you will see Him when He comes." In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Behold, He is coming on the clouds with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him." 1 John chapter 3, in verse 2, the Bible tells us He's coming. We don't know when He's coming, but when He comes, when He is revealed, that word means it's going to be seen, when He is revealed, we shall see Him as He is. In Titus chapter 2, the Bible tells us as Christians that we are to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. Verse 13 says, looking for, that's with our eyes we're going to see it, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing. We're going to see it. When Jesus returns, you will see Him. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what country you're in. Doesn't matter what floor of that building you're in. You will see Him. And you will hear Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout." You're going to hear Him. You can't miss it. He's going to return, and I don't care how deaf you might be, You're going to hear him. He's going to return with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. If you miss the shout, you're going to hear the trumpet of God. The trumpet shall sound. You know who else is going to hear him? All who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. The living are going to see him and hear him. The dead are going to hear him as well. When Jesus comes back, can you imagine what it's going to be? Can you imagine what it's going to look? Can you even imagine what it's going to sound like? Are you ready for that to happen? Right now. We don't know when he's coming back. He might come back tonight. He might come back this afternoon. He could come back this very hour. Are you ready right now to see him and to hear him when he returns? You know what else you're going to experience? When Jesus comes back, you will be raised. You're not staying on this earth. Nobody wants to stay here, I guarantee that. You will be raised. This earth is not meant for living after Jesus comes back. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that the dead will be raised. It's in that passage in John chapter 5 that we've already talked about, where the Bible says that the hour is coming. This is all going to happen at the same time. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Everybody in the grave is going to hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good, they're going to come forth. They're going to come forth to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil, they're going to come forth to the resurrection of condemnation. Everybody, every dead person is going to be raised at the same time. But what if we're still alive? Well, our feet aren't going to stay on this ground. For those righteous, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. We're not staying here. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. When Jesus comes back, you will be raised from this earth. You're not staying here. We sing a song that is so true. It says, "This world is not my home." If you have taken up permanent residency on this earth, if you want to stay here forever, guess what? That deal cannot be made. You will be raised. Are you ready for that to happen? Are you ready to leave this earth right now? Not tonight. Not tomorrow. Not when you're good and ready. Not next year. Are you ready? We don't know when he's coming back. Are you ready right now? You see, you will see him and hear him. You will be raised. And when you are raised, you will be changed. Particularly talking about those righteous. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we shall all be changed. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 50, 51, and 52. Says twice that we shall all be changed. He says because as the righteous, this corruptible body, this body of corruption, it cannot and it will not inherit incorruption. Heaven is an incorruptible place where no corruptible thing can go. Revelation 21, verse 27. And so therefore, this body of corruption must be changed. You will be raised. You will be changed. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says that our citizenship is in heaven, where we eagerly wait for the Lord to return from. We're waiting for him to come because when he returns, verse 21 says that he will transform, change. He's going to take our lowly body, the body that you and I have, the tent is a word the New Testament uses to talk about it. The tent, the shell that we are living in is going to be transformed. And we don't know what kind of new body we're going to get. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, the first part of that verse says, we don't know what we're going to look like. We don't know what we're going to be changed into, but we do know that we're going to look like him. He's going to take our body, transform our lowly body to conform us into his glorious body. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on our physical bodies, don't we? Looking around, my guess is that this morning all of us put some kind of emphasis on our physical body. And all of us are grateful that all of us put some kind of emphasis on our physical body this morning. We're grateful for that. But sometimes we put so much emphasis on the physical that we totally lose sight of the spiritual side of our life. God would have us to focus not on the outward appearance. God would have us focus on that hidden person of the heart. Because that's where God looks. That's how God sees us. Man is the one who looks on the outward appearance. It's God who looks deep inside and looks at our heart. When Jesus comes back, you will be changed. Are you ready for a new body right now? Are you ready to be changed right now? As you are taken from this earth, as you are changed, the Bible says that your every possession, everything you've got, is going to be burned up. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. It's not going to exist anymore. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, the Bible says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, the atmosphere, the clouds, everything that we see, the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements, the smallest and basic of particles and pieces that make up everything that we see, they're going to melt with fervent heat. The earth and everything in it, all the works that are in it, will be burned up. You're getting a picture of what your house is going to look like? Are you getting a picture of what your possessions are going to look like? The earth and the works that are in it shall be burned up. All of these things, the Bible says, are going to be dissolved because they're going to be on fire. If we put emphasis on our physical bodies as opposed to the spiritual, is there anybody who puts an emphasis on their stuff, on their material possessions, out of balance with that of the spiritual side of their lives? How much of an emphasis does our society put on the material? How much of an emphasis do the commercials that you see on TV tell you that you need to emphasize your stuff or their stuff and make it your stuff? They want you to be all concerned about the material. There was a rich man in Luke chapter 12 who was all concerned about the material. And Jesus said to that rich man in Luke 15, one's life does not consist in the abundance, the overflowing, the accumulation of the things that he possesses. Boy, our world's missing it, aren't they? Because they think that one's life is measured, that one's life does consist and is valued by what he has. Jesus tells a parable to this rich man. He gets down to the end of this parable and he says that this man was told in this parable, fool, this night. You've accumulated all this stuff. You've torn down your barns. You've built bigger barns. Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be? Folks, when we leave this earth, when we ascend, when we are taken, when we are changed, when all of our stuff is burned up, who's it going to belong to? If you die before Jesus comes back, how much of your stuff are you going to take with you? Then whose will these things be? If you have a last will and testament and you're leaving your stuff to your kids, when they die, whose is it going to be? If they leave it in their will to their kids and they get, whose is it going to be? You pass it on down and then it all gets burned up. Whose will these things be? Everything you have will be burned up. What does it profit? If somebody gains all that the world has to offer, loses his own soul. Are you ready right now to lose every possession, all of the stuff that you own? Jesus could come back at any moment and it'd all be gone. The Bible says that when you leave this earth, that you will stand before Jesus and you are going to be judged. You're going to be judged by the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, this is an appointment that everyone has. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You can't miss this one. You won't be late for this one. Everybody is going to be there. In fact, the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, when the Son of Man returns in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory and all nations shall be gathered before Him. Every one of us is going to be there. The Bible says that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not just that we shall, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says we must. We have to be there. Of necessity. There is not a single one of us who will not be there, the living or the dead, it doesn't matter. The Bible says Jesus is going to judge them all. John said in Revelation 20, I saw the dead, the small and the great. It doesn't matter in this life if you were a somebody or a nobody. You're going to be standing before Jesus on the day of judgment. It doesn't matter if you had a lot of money or no money. You're going to be standing before Jesus on the day of judgment. It doesn't matter if you're living or you're dead when Jesus comes back. You're going to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. You ready to do that? Are you ready right now? If before this sermon was done, Jesus came back, are you ready right now to be standing before the Creator of this universe? You know, the interesting thing is, you won't be standing the whole time. The Bible says that you will bow and you will confess. Philippians chapter 2, marvelous passage that talks about the coming of Jesus. The Bible says when it talks about Jesus that He came and He emptied Himself. He made Himself of no reputation. Took on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. And He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted Him, that at the name of Jesus, given Him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, here we are living on this earth, Jesus died for us. He died on the cross. He died the cross death. God gave Him a name that's above every name. He gave Him the highest name. That while we are on this earth, every knee, look at the word underlined, should bow. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, while you and I are on this earth, we should bow before God. We should confess who Jesus is. But on the day of judgment, there will not be any should about it. Every person who's ever lived, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, does not use the word should. It says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to do that right now? You see, if the first time that you bow before Jesus is on the day of judgment, if the first time that you confess Him is on the day of judgment, it'll be too late. We need to bow and confess Him here. We should do it here so that we are ready to do it when we get there on the day of judgment. Are you ready to do that right now? For you see, when you are standing before Jesus to be judged, and while you are bowing there and confessing Him on that occasion, you will be giving an account. You will be called to task. And you will give an account of yourself to God. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, where John says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And he said, and the books were opened. The books were opened. And the Bible says in that verse that the dead were judged according to their works. You know, you're not going to be judged according to somebody else's works. You're not going to be judged by how good or how bad somebody else is. The dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. You know, we've got a standard. And Jesus says this is the standard. The word that I have spoken, Jesus said, will judge him in the last day. You and I will be there. And every one of us will be called to give an account of ourselves to God. And here's the standard. It's not a standard that man has made up. Jesus is not going to ask us if we fell into the pattern that man wanted us to follow. The books were opened. And no doubt one of the books that will be opened is the Word of God. Jesus said, "The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We'll all give an account." That each one, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done. Not according to what somebody else has done. According to what he has done in his body, whether that be good or whether that be bad. We're going to stand there. And everything we've done is going to be held up in light of the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says even every secret thing that we have done will be judged by God. Are you ready right now to give an account of yourself to God? If Jesus were to come back right this minute, are you ready to stand before Him in judgment and say, "Yes, I have followed Your Word"? Are you ready for that to happen right this minute? You see, after we must give an account, the Bible says that you will be sentenced. You will be given the sentence for all of eternity. Go back and look at that part of the Bible that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 where it says that we will receive the things done in the body. When you and I are sentenced, when we receive our sentence for eternity, it will be based upon what we are doing right now. It will be based upon how we are living right now. We will receive the sentence, and we will receive it based upon what we have done in our bodies. Son of Man is going to come. He's going to sit on the throne of His glory. All nations shall be gathered before Him. And He will separate them one from another. And that on that occasion, there's only two groups that you can be in. There's the group that Jesus will call the righteous. And Peter says that those righteous will be given an entrance. They'll be supplied an entrance abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our God and Savior. Are you going to have that kind of an entrance? Are you going to be given an entrance into heaven itself? And not just any entrance, but an abundant entrance. If you're given that entrance, you're going to hear words like this: "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Is there anything else you want to hear on that day? "Well done. Come," can you imagine Jesus saying that to you? "Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit," it's yours, "inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." There's one group of people that's going to hear those words. But then there's another group of people. There are the unrighteous. There are the ungodly. There are those that 2 Thessalonians describes as those whom Jesus will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of Christ. God says these shall be punished. They're going to hear words like, "You
wicked and lazy servant.
Cast him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These people are going to hear words like, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They're going to hear words like, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, anyone not found written in God's book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire. When Jesus comes back, you will be sentenced. Are you ready for that to happen right now? Are you ready for Jesus to sentence you for eternity right this minute? There's only one thing left to happen when He comes back. You will enter into your eternal abode, never, ever, 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 ever to leave it. The last verse of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talking about the unrighteous, the ungodly, these shall go away into punishment that lasts forever, into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into life that lasts forever. Those are the only two options. Everlasting punishment or eternal life. In Luke chapter 16, this is not talking about heaven and hell. It's talking about the Hadean realm into which the spirits of the dead go until Jesus comes back. But in that place, in that realm where those righteous go into Abraham's bosom, a place of paradise, where the unrighteous go into a place of torment, Luke 16 and verse 26 says that there is a great gulf fixed between the two. A great gulf, and it's fixed. It's not moving. It's not changing. It's not diminishing. It's fixed. And Abraham said to this rich man, and so those who are here, they cannot pass to you, nor can those from there pass over to here. There's no switching of sides once eternity has started. If there's that kind of great gulf fixed in the Hadean realm, imagine what kind of great gulf there is fixed between heaven and hell. My favorite part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is the end of verse 17. The verse says that when He comes back, that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then this sentence, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. There's nothing that will ever, 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 ever take you away from God when you go to heaven. Nothing. We shall always be with the Lord if we go to heaven. But look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, where it says that He will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on the unrighteous. Verse 9 says, these shall go away into everlasting, it's going to last forever, destruction. And I hate this word, away. Away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Forever and ever and ever, and it won't ever change. Are you ready right now for eternity? You will see Him and you'll hear Him when He comes back. You will be raised, you will be changed, your every possession will be burned up. You will stand before Jesus to be judged by Him on that occasion. You will bow down and confess Him. You will give an account of yourself to God for the way that you have lived, and based upon the way you have lived, you will be sentenced for eternity, and you will enter into either heaven or hell forever and ever and ever and ever. Are you ready right now for Him to come back? There is only one way for you to be ready. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You must believe that. Jesus came and died for you, took your sins upon Him. He never committed a single solitary one. He went to that cross having done nothing wrong ever. But He loved you so much that He was willing to do it. To die on that cross, to be raised the third day, to ascend back into heaven so that He can come back again. Remember what He said in John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. There's only one way to be ready. You've got to believe in Him. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He's going to come again, as He said in John 14? If you believe it, you must repent. You must turn away from the wrong in your life. Turn away from sin and say, I don't want to do that anymore. You must confess your faith in Jesus. Because if you'll confess Him, He will confess you. You must be immersed in water. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of your sins. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. When you get to the day of judgment, if you have not obeyed God, if you still have sins that are separating you from God, folks, they're not only going to separate you from God while you're on this earth. If those sins haven't been washed away by the blood of Jesus, they will separate you from God forever and ever and ever. And then once you're a Christian, you must live faithfully. You must live ready to meet Him, ready for His return. Are you ready right now? He could come back anytime. Are you ready right now for Him to come? He's calling you. He wants you to come. Get your life right now as together we stand and sing.